This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with conservation specialists relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and across America. I'm your host, Jay Schell. Our guest today is Mark Romanski. He's a National Park Ranger at Oil Rand Allen National Park. He's their wildlife biologist and natural resources manager, and he's been there for 25 years, has a master's degree in ecology. He did beaver research at Michigan Tech. So welcome, Mark. Great to be talking to you today. How are things in Isle Royale, and where the heck is it?
Well, I appreciate the invitation to talk with you today, so thank you for that. Isle Royale is located in the very northwest corner of Lake Superior, closer to Minnesota or Ontario, Canada, but is actually part of Michigan. So it's a 210 square mile island located in the northwest aspect of Lake Superior.
How do you get up to that part of Michigan?
There are ferries that service Isle Royale from Michigan and Minnesota. There is also a seaplane that'll take you out to Isle Royale. And if you own your own boat or kayak, you can get out there that way as well.
Aren't there ferries that take you out to Isle Royale?
Yep, ferries out of Minnesota and Houghton, Michigan. One out of Copper Harbor, Michigan.
Any access from Canada?
No, the only access from Canada would be, you know, private boat, so personally owned vessel.
And what's the closest distance to the mainland on either side?
That's about 15 miles, and that would be closest to an island offshore of Ontario.
And how big is Isle Royale?
Well, it's about 50 miles long, and at its widest, it's 9 miles wide, but it's kind of in the shape of a teardrop, skinny at one end, the northeast end, and then gets fatter as you travel southwest down the island.
And what's the weather like up there?
Well, right now it's snowy and cold, although we've had more of a mild winter. But typically the summers are cooler. Lake Superior has quite a bit of effect on the climate at Isle Royale, and so you can imagine Lake Superior is just a huge refrigerator. So our spring green ups are typically a couple weeks, you know, behind the mainland. And then we tend to stay warmer in the fall because of the lake effect. As the summer goes on, the lake warms up and it retains that heat. And that's, of course, shared with the surrounding environment. So we just tend to be a couple weeks behind in all aspects in relation to, say, the mainland of Michigan or Minnesota.
And what's the geology of that? Why is it even there? Is it a moraine or is it something else?
Well, Isle Royale is quite old in terms of geology. Lava flows formed the Lake Superior Basin, and you can think of Lake Superior as a big bowl, and on one edge of the bowl is Isle Royale, and then on the other edge would be the Keweenaw Peninsula of upper Michigan. So lava flows from millions and millions of years ago, and then over time, of course, glaciation, all that. And what we have left today is that sort of ridge valley topography left over from the lava flows, and then, of course, the scraping of the glaciers.
I read that it consists largely of greenstone.
Well, greenstone is a gemstone, or considered a gemstone, that's commonly found in the area associated with lava flows, where minerals have worked their way into a little pocket and have been deposited. You can find greenstones on Isle Royale, and the main backbone of Isle Royale is named after this gemstone called the Greenstone Ridge. But it's largely basalt and then a conglomerate of the two sort of rock formations that comprise Isle Royale.
Why was it made a national park?
Isle Royale has had visitors for eons. Native Americans used to come to Isle Royale for its rich copper resources. And fish like lake trout. Isle Royale is a superb lake trout, or the water surrounding Isle Royale is a superb lake trout habitat. And of course, when Europeans came, they recognized the value of Isle Royale as well. And then at the turn of the 20th century and a little before, Isle Royale became a resort vacation destination. And by the 1920s, it had a following largely located out of Detroit to advocate to make it a national park. And it was dedicated, established in 1931, but the dedication ceremony didn't happen until a few years later, I think 1940. So it took a while for the park to get organized, the government to purchase the land from the property holders and establish it as a national park.
There are several access points along the shoreline around the park. Why does it have wilderness status?
Yeah, so when the Wilderness Act was signed into law, you know, the federal agencies were supposed to go around and identify areas that would qualify for wilderness. And Isle Royale was immediately considered as one of those areas, because largely due to its isolation and remoteness, lack of development. And even though there, you know, are campgrounds that encircle the island, much of the interior is untouched. And so today, 99% of the island is designated wilderness. And then we also have some potential wilderness additions that are also part of that.
So it's an international biosphere preserve as well.
Yes, that's a nomenclature dedication that is run by, I'm losing the words here, the Man and Biosphere Program, coordinated out of the United Nations. And Isle Royale was recognized as part of this, you know, global network of unique places, largely because of its national park status, the long-term wolf moose ecological studies, and you know, its preservation in terms of its preservation as a national park, I guess. Wilderness status, all those things.
If you look at a map of it, it looks like it more likely would have belonged to Canada than the United States.
Yeah, there's a unique backstory with respect to how Isle Royale became part of the United States. You know, it was rumored that Isle Royale had lots of copper on it, and nobody knew, even if you look at the early maps, where Isle Royale roughly laid in Lake Superior, and so it has it floating all over the place. But even though nobody knew exactly where it was, when they were laying out the boundaries for the United States, they included Isle Royale. And so that's how it became part of the United States.
Yeah.
And then eventually part of Michigan in a trade for Toledo. So Ohio got Toledo and Michigan got Isle Royale.
It looks like it consists of 894 square miles total, but only 209 square miles is land above water. So what's the water designation?
Yeah, so the park boundaries extend 4.5 miles out from the shoreline of Isle Royale, the outermost shoreline. So, excuse me, that's where the park jurisdiction goes. And so when the park was established, it included the waters of Lake Superior and the water column. But it omitted the management of the sport fishery. That was left to the state of Michigan.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, but the Park Service has jurisdiction 4 miles out from the shore all the way around?
Yeah, 4.5.
So what does that mean in effect? Does that inhibit people from, or protect certain features?
Sure. So it protects those living things within the water column, so fish, and it also establishes regulations associated with like shipping. So Isle Royale is a no discharge zone when it with respect to shipping. And then we work with our other agency partners to, you know, manage fisheries or habitat in those areas as well. So it provides this level of protection with respect to, you know, from the lake floor on up to the, you know, the water surface.
So how long does it take to get out there by boat?
Yeah, the park's headquartered in Houghton, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we have our own ferry boat, and that ride is approximately 5 to 5.5 hours. If you were coming from it's a slow boat. It only averages about, you know, 14 miles an hour. If you're coming from Minnesota, that trip is more like 1 to 2 hours, and then from Copper Harbor, Michigan, it's 3 hours.
And what's the visitation to that park, to the Isle Royale?
Yeah, on an island, we typically get around, you know, 15 to 20,000 visitors, depending on the year. In recent years, we've, in association with, you know, the Park Service's centennial celebration, you know, like other parks, Isle Royale experienced some increased numbers of visitation. So, yeah, we've been over 20,000 at times.
And travel visitation is mostly in the summer, I assume. Can you go there in the winter?
The park is actually one of the few places that is closed during the wintertime in terms of National Park Service units. And that's largely attributed to preservation of wildlife, as well as, you know, our ability to be able to manage the park in terms of administrative presence with respect to, you know, winter time and winter logistics. And, you know, because we have our own, we basically have three little cities out there that we manage in terms of water treatment and wastewater treatment that provides for visitation, which in the winter time obviously is quite, you know, expensive to maintain and run.
Yeah, right. The park is closed from what, October to April, or?
Correct. Yep. We shut down October 31st and open back up April 15th.
Is there an ice sheet between the mainland and the island in the winter, or is that variable?
It is quite variable. Typically, we see ice sheets between like the north shore of Isle Royale and Canada and northeastern Minnesota. Some years, quite rarely, the whole lake will freeze over, in which case, you know, there's that ice bridge all across the lake. But it's quite infrequent because winds and waves, you know, impact ice. And then in more recent years, we've seen a declining trend in terms of ice formation between Isle Royale and the mainland compared to, you know, over a several decade period, that trend has been declining.
Mm-hmm. But I gather wolves can travel over the ice when it freezes over.
Yeah, they sure can. And we've documented that on a few occasions, and there's almost certainly occasions that we have not documented where wolves have been to Isle Royale, and they only need a few inches of ice to be comfortable, you know, walking across.
Are they able to tell how thick the ice is?
Boy, I don't know that I could answer that question. I'm assuming, you know, going through life constantly testing the environment, I'm sure they have their cues. But I don't know that I can speak for the wolf on that regard.
And do any other animals like moose, do they travel over the ice, or is the wildlife on the island pretty well landlocked?
Certainly moose, we think, don't travel on the ice, and that's largely because they're a hooved animal and their hooves can be quite slippery, and they can actually get stuck, you know, trying to get up off of the ice if they fall down. So we think that moose don't travel across the ice, but certainly other carnivores like fox or, you know, lynx or coyote, they certainly could cross if they chose to.
So the moose population on the island is pretty well landlocked right there, or can they, or do they swim across the water in the summertime?
There has been documented cases of moose swimming quite a distance offshore. We have not yet documented a complete crossing one way or the other, but we have seen or received reports of moose swimming quite a ways offshore.
So you have any idea how they originally got there?
Well, there's some theories. We don't know for sure because we don't have direct evidence, but certainly they could have swam to Isle Royale. Also, at the turn of the century, the island was home to a hunt club, and they attempted and did put deer on Isle Royale, and also had plans to move moose to Isle Royale, but from the record that we have available to us, we don't know if they actually did that.
Is there anything unique genetically about the moose on the island from moose on the mainland?
I don't think we have the data yet to say that, although I can say that that is being worked on at the moment. But moose on Isle Royale are a little bit smaller than moose on the mainland. And that could be genetics. It could be, you know, being constrained on Isle Royale and with, you know, hundreds of other moose, and just over time getting smaller to fit the environment. Excuse me, and the available forage. So I don't know.
I assume they have an adequate food supply.
They have food. In some years, it's plenty of food with respect to the number of moose on the island. And then, of course, when we have year in and year out of high numbers of moose, then that amount of forage available to them becomes less. And especially in the wintertime, that's when they really, you know, that's when they take a hit and can starve if there's not adequate food sources available. And we've experienced, you know, those sort of events before, starvation events.
I read in the paper the other day that the annual moose survey on the island has been called off for this year.
Yeah, you know, Isle Royale is not immune to COVID in terms of impacts, just like the rest of the world. And so, you know, it was a tough decision between, you know, the Park Service made with, along with its partners, to assess whether or not we could safely run the program and have adequate emergency resources in place and those types of, you know, discussion points over whether or not to do this. But yeah, first time in 63 odd years that it's been canceled. So, disappointment, of course, but the right decision with respect to the safety of, you know, the folks that go out there annually to do research. So,
there are personnel who go out by boat during the winter time to do the population survey.
We actually use airplanes or helicopters to access the island, because the boating in Lake Superior at that time of year is quite risky, and we don't have a way to access the main lake because of ice freezing or the ability to get to our places of development when the water is frozen. So we use either planes with skis or helicopters.
So there are other wildlife on the island as well. You mentioned lynx and fox. Anything else that you can think of?
Yeah, I mentioned lynx, and they used to be on Isle Royale, but we have not documented a breeding population of lynx at the park, although we have had quite rare either sightings or reported, you know, sign of lynx over the decades. We do have fox, we have marten and ermine and snowshoe hare and beaver, white-footed deer mouse and red squirrel, a few species of bats, and of course some frog species and a painted turtle. So we have, several animal species, much less than you would find on the corresponding mainland, like say Minnesota or Ontario, because Isle Royale is isolated and we have this whole island biogeography effect, fewer species.
What are the notable birds come to the island?
Well, we have we do bird surveys annually, and we document bird population assemblage that more closely resembles the mainland, obviously, because birds can fly and access Isle Royale.
Sure.
So, some of the species, you know, that we have, peregrine falcons and eagles and osprey, and we have plenty of forest, you know, neotropical migrants, ravens who benefit from the wolves and scavenging. So our bird assemblage is quite similar to what one might find on the mainland. I think one unique sort of aspect of it, we think we have almost a third of the state population of common loons who do quite well on Isle Royale. We have, 42 named lakes and several other ponds of adequate size for loons to thrive. So, sort of a superlative with respect to birds at the park.
So how do the wolf and moose populations, how do they vary in number?
Well, over, the study that has gone on for over six decades now has documented quite a large fluctuation, anywhere from, 2,500 moose down to 500. And then for wolves, it's as many as 50, and then more recently down to 2, which, prompted the Park Service, the Park Service to go ahead and put more wolves into the system to act as that predator.
So the predation by wolves on moose is not a concerning factor. They're not knocking down the moose population in any way that might concern its future survivability.
No, although they do have an effect on population numbers, it's typically, the old portion of the population, animals who are not robust, old or sick, animals who aren't robust enough to fend off a wolf or a wolf pack. And then the young, so calves and moose under a year old, those are the moose that wolves target. But if you're a prime age moose, you don't have much threat from wolves. They may take a stab at you, but they're likely not going to succeed. And it's risky for a wolf to prey on moose. They can end up getting kicked and broken bones and skulls, and or even end up dead. So,
So is the population of moose pretty evenly spread across the island, or is it concentrated in certain areas?
That changes as the year goes on and the environmental conditions change. Isle Royale is, you can think of it sort of like a mountain, only in the reverse, in terms of it gets the forest associated with moose browse grows closest to the lake. And so moose tend to concentrate their roamings in that sort of band of forest around Isle Royale that's influenced by the lake. And then as you get further away from the water, you tend to see less and less moose. But that changes as the year goes on, too, because they target different vegetative resources for their diet.
So the moose have been studied extensively. Are there any significant findings that have been generated by those studies?
Oh my gosh. There are many significant findings. Well, to pick a few, one of the, I think I mentioned it earlier, but didn't get into detail. Over time, researchers at Michigan Technological University have documented that moose are getting smaller on Isle Royale. And there's evidence to suggest that predation plays a role in that, but also some other factors might be, you know, the quality of forage that's available to them. And it's also documented in other places of island dwelling mammals that they tend to, depending on sort of the type of species they are, they can get smaller over time. So one example that pops to my head is in the Mediterranean. There used to be dwarf elephants on some of the offshore islands like Sicily or, you know. But yeah, so so there's that happening on Isle Royale with the moose getting smaller. I think a big thing that is become apparent is the influence of wolves on the population and how that can shift through time based on many factors, like, you know, the climate, and winter ticks have a huge impact on an individual moose and its ability to survive from one year to the next. So if they're infested with a high load of winter ticks, which, you know, extract a lot of blood from from a moose, they can, you know, scratch off their fur, and then they increase their energetic demands with respect to replacing blood and fighting off the winter cold. So they can have a big impact on moose. So there's all these factors that over time the study has documented, you know, impact moose and ultimately their survival on Isle Royale.
So do you have any wildlife interactions with the people who come to visit in the summer, moose and wolves, causing any injuries?
I have not heard of, you know, any significant injuries caused by wildlife in my 20 plus years at Isle Royale. Certainly folks get shooed off a trail by a moose, especially during the rut or a cow and calf situation where the cow moose is protective of the calf. You know, we haven't had any serious negative wolf interactions. We have had wolves get habituated to humans with respect to food, but even then it's only been a few occasions. So knock on wood, we've been lucky in that regard.
One final question. We're just about out of time, but I gather that Canada is creating a Canadian Lake Superior National Marine Conservation Area. Does that interface with Isle Royale?
Yeah, they've created a what they call a marine sanctuary, and it is borders a great deal of Isle Royale's border, where we align with, you know, the international boundary. And so you have a huge protected area from, you know, 4.5 miles out from Isle Royale, and then that area, a huge area from Thunder Bay, Ontario, across to, I forget the name of the city, Marathon maybe, but it's quite large in terms of preservation of natural resources with respect to Lake Superior.
Well, Mark, we've run out of time, but I really appreciate your willingness to talk to us. It's been very interesting. Isle Royale is kind of off the map of what most people think of as a place to visit, but I'd love to get up there sometime. Sounds very interesting. Yeah, thank you very much.
It's a wonderful place. And thank you for your interest in Isle Royale, and I appreciate the time we shared today.
Okay, our guest today has been Mark Romanski, now a National Park Ranger at Isle Royale National Park. He's a biologist and a natural resource manager. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to him. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, Google Wilderness and Wildlife or go online, jswilderness5.net, and check our website. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Jay Schell.